Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Happy Monday. Great to be with you here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And before we get started with anything, a very welcome back to Tanner on the other side of the glass. So happy to have Tanner back. Tanner deserves time off. Don't get me wrong. But love having Tanner on the other side of the glass. And he is back. He is refreshed. And ready to go here at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is going to be a celebratory week as we celebrate America, but it's also going to be a hot week. And to talk about it, we have Chief Meteorologist at WKBW, Aaron Mentkowski. Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Beamer. Glad to be back. How have you been?
Oh, I can't complain. See, I love the heat. I love this weather. I'm still defrosting from, you know, the 8 months before. But for some people, I heard Susan and Brian this morning. They're not. Where do you stand on the heat, Aaron?
100% with you.
Yes.
I love it. As soon as you and I get off the phone, I'm going outside. I'm going to do a little yard work, and then I still take my run. I know it's hot, but I put on the sunblock. I've got my little water bottle, and I just love to sweat. I'd rather do that than shiver. So I am right with Team Beamer on this one.
Well, speaking of that heat, Aaron, what are we looking at today, tomorrow, and these next few days when it comes to the heat?
Okay, so today we're going to be in the mid to upper 80s. We have partly to mostly sunny skies, some high thin clouds passing by, and you can see some fair weather cumulus clouds kind of developing across the area. Tonight, the heat, well, it'll be warm and humid. So you're going to start to feel the humidity really increase tonight. Lows only near 70 degrees, and we'll have a couple of showers popping up toward tomorrow morning. So we'll have a chance for a shower, thunder shower for the first part of the day on Tuesday. Tuesday, we're up near 90 degrees. The heat index will be in that 95 to 100 degree range. And then Wednesday and Thursday, highs will be in the low 90s. Heat index anywhere from 95 to 100 to 105 in some spots.
When you say some early morning rain, you talking drive time? When will we be seeing those rain showers?
Yeah, after around 7 a.m., so maybe the second half of the morning commute, some scattered showers and thunderstorms, and then marginal risk for some severe storms, so some could bring, you know, brief downpour and some gusty winds as they pass through the area. They're moving along a warm front that's really going to usher in that humid air mass that's going to be with us and making headlines across the area, really from tonight and tomorrow through Friday, and then even this weekend, we're still in the mid-80s. It's going to be warm. It's going to be muggy. We have that warm, humid pattern that's going to be in place, and we're not shaking it anytime soon.
Now, you said tonight, you know, we're not getting out of the 70s. Is that the case all week? It's going to be hot no matter what time you step outside?
Yeah, and that's the issue. You know, there's not really any relief from the heat. Tonight's low 71. Tomorrow night, 75. Wednesday night, Thursday night, more of the same. You're talking hazy, hot, and humid conditions with afternoon highs in the low 90s where it'll feel like it's close to 100. And then the overnight lows will be in the low to mid 70s. So, you know, I'd imagine some cooling centers will be open. You could find some relief in some of the, you know, neighborhood pools, hopefully. Lake Erie is at 67 degrees. So you want to be careful if you were to jump in the lake. It's quite a shock to go from, you know, say close to 90. Actually, Lake Erie, just checking right now, jumped to 69 degrees. So it's close to 70, but still, you know, that's quite a shock to the system when you see that 20-degree swing right there. But that lake temp will really increase as the week moves along, especially, like I mentioned, with overnight lows in the 70s.
Aaron, I'm sorry to get distracted. So you said the lake is around 69. Is that quick? Like, it was just frozen a few months ago. Is it hotter than it usually is at this point in the season?
Now, this morning it was 67, which is normal for June 29th, and today it went to 69. So it's slightly above normal. The record for this date, 75, so nowhere near that. So, but as the week moves along, Lake Erie is definitely going to get into the 70s, and we'll see that lake temp well above normal by the end of next week. So, or excuse me, by the end of this, by Friday. By next, if we're talking next Monday, we're probably talking about the lake in the mid-70s.
I'll tell you, you talked about cooling off in the pool. Nothing better than going for a few miles, you know, running a few miles and then jumping right in the pool.
Exactly. I don't have the pool, but I'm going to do the miles. And, you know, but I'm with you. There is nothing better than that. You know, and you just on a day like today, you and I have been waiting all year for something like this. And we finally have it this week. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. I'm all in. I know a lot of people, though, would like to find relief from the heat. You know, you could go to the mall or the library. They're always air conditioned. So there's some spots you can head to.
Yeah, yesterday I had the grill going. I was outside. I didn't want to go in. I was like, let's eat outside. But my wife's the complete opposite. She's like, oh, it's too hot. We got to go inside. heading to the weekend, obviously, a lot of people off on Friday, Aaron. You got the 4th on Saturday. What's the holiday forecast look like?
So Friday, upper 80s still hot, still humid, maybe an isolated shower storm in the afternoon. We get to the weekend, a little more unsettled. So we're looking at highs in the mid-80s for both Saturday and Sunday. But Saturday for the 4th, there is the chance for some scattered showers and storms, especially in the afternoon, as it's just going to be hot and humid. And the pattern's going to change just a bit. So we'll be in the mid-80s, so slightly cooler, but still humidity levels will be up there. And you're talking about a 30 to 40% chance for that shower or storm. More of a typical summer pattern. So I know a lot of us have plans to celebrate Independence Day. And, you know, you'll just have to kind of check the app and make sure, you know, any storms that pop up, you know, if they're going to be in your location, let them clear out. So if you can hear thunder, lightning is definitely close by.
So not a washout. There will be times of that you can be outside.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Not a washout by any means. But, you know, we get that this time of year where you'll be, you know, outside like you doing the grilling. And then you're like, oh, wow, this sky's looking rather ominous. We're starting to see the clouds build and, you know, maybe a warning goes off and that storm passes through. And then you're good again after that.
All right, Aaron. So I got to ask you, what's the best day to go see the duck?
What's that? Oh, good duck. I'm like, did I hang up on you? That's hilarious. I would say Friday, maybe, mid-80s, a slight chance for a shower there. So maybe Friday. I think all 3 days, you know, it'll be fine. And if it were to rain, just duck in someplace and get a bite to eat and then go back out.
When the duck was here 10 years ago, I made fun of it. I thought it was the dumbest thing. But now, you know, I have a 3-year-old, so I guess I'm going to see the duck this time around.
Yes, yes. You definitely, one of the many things you change your views on after you have children. So, yeah, now you'll be down there with the duck and you'll be taking pictures and that might even make your Christmas card. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would not doubt it. I might have to go put like an AI Christmas hat on the duck just to make it in season. Aaron, you know, talking about this heat and, you know, a lot of places are doing fireworks. I mean, a lot of people have fireworks throughout the week. Is it going to be too dry with this heat that fireworks could turn into something worse?
There's always that concern. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty dry for the next several days and it's going to be obviously very hot. So there could be that concern. It's pretty not really dealing with any of those sort of issues right now, but that's something we talked about this morning. Just, you know, you head toward the 4th after a hot week and, you know, you're lighting stuff off and, you know, there's the chance there that, you know, it could cause some issues. You don't want to light off fireworks in a crowded neighborhood and light your neighbor's house on fire. And as the week moves along, things are going to dry out. So it's something that you want to be cognizant of.
Now, I was surprised. We're you know, it's a hot week, but from what I saw, we're not really flirting with any records. Am I right?
We're flirting with the record for Wednesday and Thursday. We'll be about, right now, the records are 93 and 94, respectively, for the 1st and the 2nd. And we're going to be forecast high of 91 and 92 for those days. So just below record warmth for Wednesday and Thursday, but still quite hot, obviously. And you factor in the humidity, it's going to be very uncomfortable. You're looking at real field temperatures and the heat index close to 100 degrees. Matter of fact, while we were talking right here, a heat advisory just came out. So I'll get you updated live right now because it's just happened. Heat advisory in effect from noon to 8 p.m. on Tuesday for Niagara and Orleans counties and an extreme heat watch in effect from Wednesday afternoon through Friday evening. So the heat index tomorrow in those areas expected to be near 100. Extreme heat watch, we could see heat index of 110. And that is for Niagara, Orleans, also Northern Erie and Genesee counties. So that came out at 114 while we were talking. And so there we go. Heat advisory posted for tomorrow, an extreme heat watch in effect from Wednesday through Friday. That's something you don't see too often here in Western New York, where it feels like it could be around 110 degrees. So really can't emphasize enough, if you have to work outside, just be careful. You have your kids going to camps and they're outside. Make sure that they have plenty of water or electrolyte water, so they're taken care of. You're really, with the extreme heat and humidity, significantly increase the potential for heat-related illnesses. So just be careful over the next few days.
Aaron, do you use the electric light packets before or after a run, or both?
Both. I love them. I have them, and I'm a huge fan of those. So yeah, I put the electrolyte packet in my water. It actually, because you can drink water and kind of gets, I don't know, it gets old. So
I get bloated if I drink too much water too fast.
Yeah, and you're like, anything but water. And then you put the electrolyte pack, and you're like, yeah, it's kind of a treat. And yeah. I mean, really, with like kind of the stuff I do, like you're not just sweating out water. You've got all the salts that you're losing. And so it's very important to replenish those. So, and the only reason I know that is because I learned from experience of, dealing with a heat-related illness.
my final question, Aaron, and this might sound like a dumb question, but this is me nerding out like I usually do. Is there a reason certain places get hotter than others when we're talking about, this region? I mean, obviously, I'm not talking about us in the equator, but when you talk around Western New York, you do see a 5 or 6 degree difference. Is there a hotter place than another in the region for a reason?
Yeah, so Niagara and Orleans counties will see, they do have the heat advisory in effect, and those counties tend to be a little bit warmer. And then you go further inland to say like Livingston County and over toward Monroe County, those areas tend to be a little bit warmer as well. Lake Erie acts like a giant air conditioner for, downtown Buffalo and down across the ski country, where, it's the higher elevations, you're a little bit cooler there as well. But you have the escarpment up in Niagara County and Orleans County, and, it's a little more flat, and you see temperatures that are a little bit warmer. You don't get the influence of Lake Erie as much there. And Lake Ontario, you'd need a pretty impressive onshore breeze, and we're not really going to see that. So there'll be a little relief along the Lake Erie and Lake Ontario shorelines, but Niagara County and Orleans counties, you folks tend to see the hotter temperatures when we deal with a situation like we're going to see right now.
Water, 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 and electric light pack, as Aaron said. Aaron, have a great run, and I really appreciate you taking some time to join me. I miss talking to you every morning.
Oh, and I miss you as well, and I'm glad everything's going well. Enjoy going to see the duck. And again, like while we were talking live, the heat advisory came out, and that's for all of Western New York from noon to 8 p.m. on Tuesday. South of Buffalo, it'll feel like it's in the mid-90s. Buffalo northward, 95 to 100. And then the extreme heat watch posted for Wednesday through Friday for Northern Erie, which includes Buffalo, Niagara, Orleans, and Genesee counties, where the heat index could hit 110 degrees. So that is extreme heat for our area.
It sure is. Hey, Aaron, thank you so much. Talk soon.
All right, take care. Yep, bye-bye.
That is Chief Meteorologist at WKBW, Aaron Mantikowski. You hear him every day here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And as he said, heat advisory, it's going to be hot. And, this is what I always say, hydrate up. Right? I have a water bottle right here. Aaron made me think of the electrolytes, and I have a packet in my backpack, so I'm going to have one during break. But I like the summer weather. The same people complaining about how hot it is are going to be complaining when they can't feel their toes and their fingers, even though they have layers on in February. So, we get both ends of it here. We have, I think, the best summers in the United States are in Western New York. And we have very cold winters. And lately, we've had no spring. It's gone from winter, snow, to is it spring yet? No. To cold rain, to we're not out of the 40s, to heat advisory. That's what we do in Western New York. That's just how it goes. I'm a big fan of summer. And obviously, how Aaron said, you learn the hard way sometimes. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Also, sunscreen cover your skin. You know, I have very fair skin, right? I could be out in the sun for 10 minutes and I'll get a sunburn. And back when I was in high school, over the summer, went with a friend up to, you know, a spring up in Canada. Jump off the... It was great. It was a fun day. I did not wear sunscreen that entire day. So I'm burning in the sun. And, you know, while I'm burning in the sun, I don't feel anything. I'm drinking water. I'm drinking plenty of water. As we're driving home, my stomach started killing me, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, my stomach is... I thought maybe I was hungry. I don't know. Maybe I drank too much water. Well, I get home. I pass out in my parents' upstairs bathroom. And then noticed I had huge blisters on my shoulders from how burnt I was. I had to lay in bed for like 3 days because of a sunburn. Now, I'm used to sunburns, right? That's why I have to go to the dermatologist, get my skin checked. I'm used to sunburns. I've never had a sunburn sideline me as long as that sunburn did. Usually it's like, oh, that hurts. Don't forget sunscreen, you know, some aloe. But you're right back at it. That literally, I couldn't put a shirt on. I mean, I had huge blisters on my shoulder for days. And I was fainting every time I got up because I was so dehydrated. Even though I was drinking all that water, my skin was frying in the sun. So as long as you hydrate, as long as you put the sunscreen on, you know, as long as you know your own limits, I love being outside. And like Aaron, I can run in this weather. You know, you hydrate up, you run, again, you know your limits. You start feeling lightheaded. All right, we're gonna walk a few minutes. We're gonna take a 30-second break. But yeah, you just gotta be smart. You gotta be responsible. And I think this is very, you can enjoy the heat. Now, you know, when we're talking about the real feel of 95 to 100 degrees, yeah, I can see why some people are put off by that, right? But again, like, I want to be on my patio, you know, in the shade, but still outside. I want to enjoy summer. That's why I hate the rainstorms. I know, well, Joe, we need the rain, but I hate rain because it takes me away from being able to enjoy outside. There's some stuff I want to get into, you know, this love your neighbor sign, I definitely want to talk about that. But I would love to know this audience's take on the heat. Are you over it? Do you prefer winter? Or maybe you like fall. We don't have a spring in Western New York. You cannot live in Western New York and say spring is your favorite season. I will take your calls on this. I want to know how you're feeling about the heat. And I shared my worst sunburn story. What is your worst heat, summer-related, I don't want to say injury, but you get what I'm saying, right? 803-0930, star 930. Here's what I'm saying. How did you learn the hard way when it comes to the heat and the sun? 803-0930, star 930. Taking your calls after the news with Tom Puckett on WBEN. It is hot out there, and it's just going to get hotter. I was across the street at the grocery store that's across the street from the station, and right when you walk in, they have an end cap full of air conditioners. And I'm going to tell you a story about window air conditioners in a second, but Samuel in Orchard Park has been hanging on. Sam, thanks for hanging on through the break.
Hello. Nice talking with you. I have... My favorite season is the winter, mostly because I can layer up versus on a hot day, 90 degrees summer, and the ground is all cracking up after 7 days of just no rain. I'd rather have the nice cool air versus I'm trying to keep all nice and hydrated and nice and cool.
So you're saying it's easier for you to manage a 15-degree day than an 85-degree day?
In simple terms, yes.
I get that because, as you said, you can bundle up. See, my problem is you bundle up and then you get in the car and you have to take layers off or you're going to overheat in the car. But I get what you're saying. You could always put more layers on. You can only take so many layers off when it's too hot. And that's only doing a little bit of relief. I get the argument, Samuel. Do you like winter sports?
No, I'm not a sports person,
no.
But I can see the appeal on both sides of liking summer, not liking summer. I'm just pointing out that the ground's cracking after 7 days of no rain. The farms need the water. I can see the appeal of you can walk down the street and it looks like a nice day.
Yeah, no, Samuel, I completely understand the argument. Samuel in Orchard Park, appreciate the call. 803-0930, star 930. So they have the AC window units across the street. Now, back in 2015, me and my buddy got an apartment over on Evans Road between Sheridan and in Maine. And it's the road that turns into Hopkins. And we move in, and my buddy goes, dude, you're going to want a window unit. And I said, I'm going to be fine with a fan. You know, cheap Joe Beamer. I'll be fine with the fan. And, you know, the first few nights, I was fine with the fan. I had the fan right next to me. Oh, that feels great. Then we get the heat of the summer. It gets hot. And I'm thinking, I can do it. Literally one night, and this is when I was still working retail. So, you know, I had to go in and do physical labor for 10 hours. Stocking shelves, pulling stuff off pallets. One night, I cannot sleep. Because all that's being blown on me is the hot air through the fan. It wasn't even cooling the air. I was sweating. The next day, I walked over to Sears at Eastern Hills when that was still there. Got their last AC window unit. Can I tell you, it literally changed my summer. I don't know. You know, you walk by. Now I understand a lot of people. We have a lot of older houses. They don't have central air. My parents' house in Hornell, New York, we didn't have central air. Ton of window units, but no central air. I don't know. Like, I see people who, I assume there's window units somewhere else in the house. There's some kind of cooling mechanism. But you go on a hot day, and it's just a bunch of open windows. I don't know how you do it. I barely got through 3 days, and I was like, I don't have the money, but I'm going to find the money to get a window unit because this is ridiculous. And that was my 3 days. But I have to say, I've also been spoiled, right? Growing up when we moved to Amherst, my parents' house does have central air, and my room was on the first floor. So it was always the coldest room in the house, right? It was always the most comfortable room. It got the best AC. It got, you know, the best heat. I always had the most comfortable room. So I've always been spoiled with air conditioning. I think that's why, like, now I like it to be cold at night. Like, my wife has to go and check the thermostat because I will put the thermostat at 64 degrees and have the fan, the ceiling fan, on at the same time. I like it to be cold. I think I in the house. You get what I'm saying? Like, I like it to be hot outside. I love to enjoy summer. But when I sleep, I want it to be cold. I know. I'm not going to blame my parents, but I think giving me the first floor room, which was awesome, because then they needed more AC because the AC upstairs, it didn't reach upstairs as well as it did downstairs. So I'd be, you know, freezing in July. And I think that's what got me to be so used. And then when I went to Madai's dorms had air conditioning. Who's ever heard of that? We had air conditioning in our dorms at Madai. So I've just always had the air conditioning. I guess that's why I didn't know what I was in for when I thought I could just use a simple fan instead of an AC window unit. And then I put it in my window wrong. So on the first night of this, talk about learning the hard way. I put the window unit in, but I didn't have it leaning back, which is, you know, so the condensation can. So now I have all the AC fluid on my floor of my dorm room because I wasn't going to tilt it. I was like, tilt it. This thing cost me $400. It's going to end up on the ground. I can't tilt it out the window. I mean, I eventually did. I, you know, watched the YouTube video, which is pretty much what we do. But I, like I said, I like the heat, but I'm spoiled. I like the heat outside, and I like it to be cool when I go to bed. It's not going to be, this is not, you know, a nice breeze with the window open. I guess I can, you know, I was thinking during the break, because someone said, Joe, if you like summer so much, why do you live in Buffalo? But I mean, I like fall, right? I like fall. I like the beginning of winter. I've always said, I like winter around the holiday times. I like the thought of a white Christmas. It's winter in January, in February. It's winter in March. When you're thinking of summer and here in Buffalo, we're still 3 months away. We still have frost. You know? I love summer. I love fall. I like the beginning of winter. It's that February winter, that March winter where the sun doesn't come out. It's just gray. You know, you got the dirty snow everywhere. Like, that's when I mean winter. I love the beginning of winter. I love holiday time. You know that. My gosh, if you've listened to me for 10 minutes, you know that. But this heat's moving in, and I have a feeling we'll be talking about the heat all week. 803-0930, star 930, if you want to jump on board. I'd love to know what you think about the heat and a lesson you learn when it comes to warm weather, when it comes to the heat. A lesson you learn the hard way. Like I said, for me, it was blisters on my arm. I got such a bad, I didn't think that could happen. I got such a bad sunburn, I had blisters on my shoulders to the point where I couldn't put a shirt on for 3 days. And let me tell you, when I had the blisters on my shoulder, I was a lot heavier than I am now. So it was not no one wanted me walking around without my shirt on, let me tell you. On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, I love Buffalo because of weather and all seasons. You'll find my family on the ski slopes all winter long. We're out kayaking yesterday. Look forward to some mountain biking and hiking in the summer. If you can't find something to do in Buffalo year-round, you're not trying. There it is. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just I like being outside. I've always said I wish I learned to ski because I'd like to be able to take advantage of winter. But, you know, I think of just how miserably cold it was in February in Buffalo. And like, I'll make the heat work. I'll hydrate, right? I'm also interested, and we'll talk about this on Thursday, about who's going to see the Duck. Because I could not believe the fanfare the Duck had the last time it was in Buffalo. But we'll talk about that when it actually arrives. Are they gonna hit the Duck with like a champagne bottle to welcome it into Buffalo? Is that what's going on? Anyway, let's get into some other stuff that's happening. I'll still take your calls on the weather because I do enjoy talking the heat. You know, and, you know, Susan and Brian are two of my favorite people on the earth. I mean, I'm not just saying that. That's an accurate statement. Susan and Brian, I love both of them. And like I said, they're two of my favorite people on the earth. I disagree with some of the complaints I heard this morning. That's all I got to say. I disagree with some of the complaints. I get it. But, you know, it was miserably cold 3 months ago. I'm still defrosting here in our Amherst studios. Well, not in this studio. I'm not defrosting in this studio. I might need to go find where that window unit for my Evans apartment went and put it in the window here in our Amherst studio. 803-0930, star 930. If you want to join the program. So today I was looking around. You know, I was explaining this to someone over the weekend. I'm always looking for topics. I don't care if it's Saturday and I'm out with the family. I am looking around for topics, right? I always want to have, when Lisa Polizzi says, Joe, what are you doing on the show today? I don't want to say, I don't know. I would not be employed if I did that. So I'm always looking for topics. And you know, one of my favorite people to look to for topics is the county executive, Mark Poloncarz. And I heard David talking about the letter from Joe Biden, so I won't talk about that. But he puts this picture of a sign that's in his front yard. And to this day, I still have no idea how I am still friends on Facebook with the county executive. You would think at this point he would pull a Jeremy Zellner and block me on social media. But the county executive has this sign up, and you've seen this sign. It says, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor who doesn't look like you, who doesn't think like you, who doesn't love like you, who doesn't speak like you, who doesn't pray like you, who doesn't vote like you. Love your neighbor, no exceptions. I find people who have that sign in their yard do not follow what that sign says. Again, it's a very condescending sign, and of course someone as condescending as the county executive is going to have that in his yard. But I find people who have that sign do not love people who don't vote like them. I find people who have that sign in their front yard, probably there's a good chance that person is not currently talking to a friend or family member because they voted for Trump. I'm positive. I would bet if that sign is in your front yard, there is a Trump supporter you used to associate with and you no longer do. I mean, and the county executive of all people to put that sign in his front yard, he is constantly saying divisive things and pitting us up against each other. And saying how Republicans are to blame for everything. And I don't understand how anyone could vote for Trump and this and that. It's one of these feel-good signs, right? You put it in your front yard, but you don't live by it. You don't love the Trump supporter that lives next to you, liberal with this sign in their front yard. Right? Have you noticed this? Do you have a neighbor with this sign in their front yard that yelled at you for having a Trump flag up? 803-0930, star 930. Now, the county executive wasn't done. He had a busy day on social media because he then went to Brian Nowak on Facebook. And Brian Nowak, you know, he and I, we do not agree politically. But the supervisor and I consider us friends. And he speaks his mind, right? Again, we disagree on a lot. But he speaks his mind, and the supervisor went on Facebook talking about a lot of things that happened with the primary. And in this, he says, what does he say? He goes, in my 10 years involved in Democratic Party politics in the county, I have been one to force the question of my electability and inclusion. A committee man, a councilman, and most recently as a state councilman, I've never let the challenge discourage me from my work, but I've come to terms that this year, the Erie County Democratic Committee, as the leadership structure stands now, will never welcome me in. Okay? That's Supervisor Brian Nowak. The county executive feels the need, in a public forum, by the way. This is a public forum where anyone can click on this post and see the county executive, Mark Poloncarz, then comments, you are a committee person, state committee person, and supervisor. The party has supported you in every race in Cheektowaga and has been very helpful in many ways. Most supervisors and mayors are not members of ECDC's executive committee, and neither am I, and usually only are if they are also the town chair. You are most definitely in the committee. I mean, well, this guy just goes around. I've heard more about his dislike for, bro, you just said in this post that you're not on the executive committee. So how do you know how Supervisor Brian Nowak feels? It's just such a weird, it's such a weird thing to comment on. And like a weird thing to push back on. Like, who are you? You got jumped over for Tim Kennedy. You said, they said, hey, who wants to go to Congress? You put your hand up and they pointed to Tim Kennedy, who was sitting down with his hand down. I mean, Tim Kennedy wanted to be mayor of Buffalo. They picked him to go to Congress over you. And now you're going to tell Supervisor Brian Nowak how he should feel about his position in the party? I just think that's a very weird thing. Like, it just goes back to he, and I think Zellner's the same way, and I think it's why Zellner lost. They think they know more than you. They think they're better than you. They think they're more important than you. And it's not just, here's the scary thing. It's not just you and me. They think they're better and more important. They think they're more important than other elected officials. Like Pulling Cars thinks that he is better, smarter, and more important than Supervisor Nowak. And in a public forum, he attacks an elected official within his own party. It's just so weird. It's just so weird to see this. And I just thought I would bring it to you just to show you. And again, I think Zellner's the exact same way. These are people who think, and I think Zellner might have been knocked down a few pegs on primary day. But these are individuals, they think they're better than you. They think they're more important than you. And the funniest thing is they think they're smarter than you. And I guess they also think they're smarter than other elected officials in their party. Now, again, Brian Nowak and I, there's not much we agree politically on. But if I was an elected official, especially in his party, I might have this conversation over the phone, not attack the guy in a public setting on Facebook. This is a weird look. It's a weird look. 803-0930, star 930. We'll be back. Doug Jamal is selling more properties. Doug Jamal is going to decrease his footprint in the city of Buffalo. But when he was talking to Jim Fink, he said something that I thought was very interesting. And I'd love to get the audience's take on this. I'll play you the clip and we'll discuss when we come back. It's Joe Beamer. The only day this week I am on in my time slot. I'll give you the updated programming guide as well when we come back on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's hour number two. Now, I will remind you at the end of the program, but for the next 3 days, this show will be 2 to 6. With Tom off starting tomorrow. I feel like a 90s sitcom that they're trying to just, you know, kill. I feel like a 90s sitcom. You know, in the 90s when a show wasn't doing well, like, hey, I loved watching this show Thursday nights at 8:30. Why is it on Tuesday at 10? You know, and it's like, oh, okay, well, they're just trying to, it's got awful, you know, it's got bad ratings. They're trying to just kill it off and they're putting it Tuesday night. And then they can justify, no, I'm kidding, of course. But the next 3 days, I will be on 2 to 6. So Tom taking some the rest of the week. He'll be on today, don't worry. He will be on at 3. But I will be on 2 to 6 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the following Monday. We're all off on Friday, and Hardline's obviously off on Sunday. It's a holiday weekend. So just a programming note to mark in your calendars. So tomorrow when you don't hear me at 1, don't celebrate because I'll be on at 2 o'clock. Before we get to the Jamal clip, Tim Kennedy, who apparently needs now 8 months' notice to come on Hardline, was with Lisa Shimera and others announcing this Water Authority thing. And I'll give the deputy county executive credit. She was very gracious in studio. She answered every question. And she said she'll come back on any time. So I appreciate someone in that administration willing to talk more than, you know, 8 minutes at the end of a segment. Tim Kennedy and Lisa Shimera and others were here, and they're talking about getting lead out of the water. And I think it's so fitting. It begs the question. Yes, lead needs to be out of the water. Yes, we need to replace the pipes, which apparently are going to take, 15 more years. Has anyone, and I know I continue to bring this up, and people are upset when, Joe, you repeat the same stats. It's because you only know 5 things. But we're talking about lead in the water, and yes, lead should have been out of the water 20 years ago, We're talking about lead in the water, and we're talking about replacing lead pipes, and I'm all for that. Okay, please don't take this as Joe doesn't want to focus on lead pipes. But when are we going to hear about the soil on the east side of Buffalo? Chris Scanlon was still mayor when this report came out. And yet, when I ask about it, yeah, we're reviewing. Where is that focus from Mayor Ryan, from Congressman Kennedy, from someone in the Pulling Cars administration? Where is the focus on the east side of Buffalo? And I'm 100% honest, and I'm hoping people start emailing me. I would love to do a show focused on the east side of Buffalo, talking with voters on the east side of Buffalo. And what condition is the east side of Buffalo in with the same leadership now for decades? The same party in power. What has changed for the better or for the worst on the east side of Buffalo? And I'd love to talk with voters who live on the east side. You can email me, joe.beamer@wben.com. I'd love to put this show together. But when I'm hearing the speech, and yes, again, I'm all for replacing the lead pipes. I think they probably should all be replaced by now. But it's nice to know when my son's in college, maybe all the lead pipes will be replaced in Erie County. But they talk about that repeatedly. And they should. I don't want lead in my water. But I also don't want lead in my soil. And if I lived on the east side, I'd be demanding. I mean, I am demanding. I think this is something that, you know, Kennedy and Sean Ryan and Pulling Cars, it's what everyone should be focused on, getting the lead out of the soil as well. And then, you know, I comment this on Lisa Shimara's post, and I get a response, not from Lisa Shimara, but from one of her followers on Facebook. Joe, we're talking about water. Yeah, well, we can only do one thing at a time. Is that where we are in 2026? Our elected officials, we can't focus on lead in multiple places. We can only focus on the lead in the water. So in 15 years, maybe we'll get to the lead in the soil. Is that what I'm being told? Unbelievable. It's almost July. That report's been out for, what, a year now? Was it not a year ago that report came out? I did like three shows on it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. By the way, speaking of a year, next week will mark the official one-year anniversary of this very program. So I'm pretty excited that, hey, we made it a year. Watch the show get canceled after today. But we made it a year. So we'll do a look back next week. 803-0930, *930 on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I don't know how old you are, but if you haven't figured it out by now, the Democrats do not want to solve any problems. They just keep complaining about lead pipes, crime, and pretty much do nothing about it. Yet, you know, in my 37 years of existence, that text, I can't prove it wrong. Okay? I can't prove that text wrong. They like to list the problems during election season and what they'd like to change. But then they get in power and everything stays the same, you know? And what have we gotten for that? In my 37 years, overall, Buffalo's been on a downward trajectory, right? I always use the example. The year I was born, Salem Field opened up. And everyone thought, oh my gosh, Buffalo's going to get an MLB team. And that was realistic. 37 years later, it is laughable to think that Buffalo can get an MLB team. We're just hoping to hang on to our two professional teams that we already have. What's happened in 37 years? And as that texter says, it's been one party. It's been one party in control those 37 years. 803-0930, *930. Okay, so Doug Jamal spoke with Jim Fink. I think... Does Jim Fink have the record for most interviews with Jamal? Jim Fink seems to be able to get Doug Jamal whenever he wants him, which is great. I mean, hey, I love Jim Fink. Doug Jamal, who, you know, fell in love with Buffalo, bought all this property, bought all these buildings, rehabbed. I mean, this is a guy who Pulling Cars and other elected officials want to just call out all the time. If it weren't for Doug Jamal, the largest building in Buffalo would most likely still be empty. I mean, can you just think of that? If it weren't for Doug Jamal, now I'm not saying there's not great developers, there's a bunch of great developers in Buffalo, but it's not crazy to think that if Doug Jamal had not bought One Seneca Tower, done all the things he did on the inside and outside of that building, it's not crazy to think that building could still be sitting empty today, okay? But obviously, Mr. Jamal has become upset with the way he's been treated by elected officials. And maybe he sees the writing on the wall when it comes to the city of Buffalo. But he said this to Jim Fink. And it kind of begs me to ask you the question. Let me play. This is what he said in his interview with Jim Fink.
Well, I love Buffalo, and I try to do my best. I can't help it if we got hit by COVID. I think, anything that gets done needs some government help. I'd like to see the Statler get done. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, it's like Seneca One was when we invigorated downtown. And the Statler could do the same. But, the numbers don't work on a standard basis without any government assistance. That's the reality. So that comes along, there's nothing I could do. Needless to say, I'd like to leave the legacy over there that I started. I would like to finish the two most important projects that exist in Buffalo, which are Seneca One and the Statler. The Statler will invigorate all of downtown. If they were looking to bring downtown back, there's only one thing to do. Bring the Statler back and you'll bring downtown back. I don't know what's so complicated about that equation.
That is Doug Jamal. So I actually have two questions for you. Number one, we see money thrown around Western New York, even though Buffalo's in a deficit. Should money be given to help Doug Jamal finish the Statler Towers? Number one. Number two, is he right with what he said about the Statler? And I will play that for you again.
Will invigorate all of downtown. If they were looking to bring downtown back, there's only one thing to do. Bring the Statler back and you'll bring downtown back.
Do you believe that? And if it's not the Statler, let me rephrase that. Do you believe there is one building or one area of downtown that if you, quote, bring it back, you bring downtown back? I think it's a little more complicated than what Mr. Jamal's saying. Now, don't get me wrong. I would love to see Statler brought all the way back. Went there for Easter. It was a great brunch buffet they had. It looks beautiful in that lobby, right? But if the Statler was fully open, I'm talking with rooms, maybe some residential, maybe they bring some offices back. If you had a fully functioning Statler Towers, does that bring Buffalo back? Does bringing the Statler back fully expand throughout downtown Buffalo? I'd love to know your thoughts. 803-0930, star 930. Also, lead in the soil. This is something that I will continue to bring up on this program. Let's go to Paul in Shelby. Hey, Paul, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Joe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man. What's on your mind today?
Well, a couple things. You kind of touched, not you touched a nerve, but you said the word Tim Kennedy, and that touches a nerve with me, okay?
I understand.
Yeah, I know. You and I are in the same boat. That guy, he's not out for anybody but him, Zellner, and Hochul. That's all he's out for, okay? And if you ever get a chance, and I don't know if you have or not, to get one of them on the air or any of these Democrats on the air and say, look, why haven't you guys passed the SAVE Act yet? What is the problem? And the first words out of their mouth are, well, that's going to take a lot of people off the voting records.
Yeah.
And then your next words out of your mouth, Joe, is you mean American citizens. They will never say American citizens. Never. They haven't. Because that's the whole thing. They don't want the people, the illegals, taken off. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, Chuck Schumer said millions will be taken off the voter rolls. It's the same people that want IDs to get into their, Obama's library, IDs to get into their rallies.
I was just going to bring that up. Yep. Why do you need an ID to get into a library but no ID to vote? Well, is it me?
I'll never be able to make sense of it. And you know, when they say, well, married women or African Americans, like I think that's so offensive to married women and African Americans. Are you telling me that married women and African Americans don't go, don't fly, don't go to the store and buy, you know, to get NyQuil, you have to have an ID. And let me tell you, I get colds a lot. I need my ID. I think that's very, it's such a cop out to, you know, to point to certain groups and say, this is why we can't have voter ID.
Yeah. Go to Home Depot and try to buy a razor blade knife to cut a box open. You have to have ID and be over 18.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. It's ridiculous. And, you know, they make everything out to be about racism. It's not about racism. You know, they think every white person hates the colored people. We don't. My best friend is black, lives in Orleans County with me in Knowlesville. Okay. Tim Kennedy, Hochul, Zellner, I can't stand them.
It is crazy. They continue to vote to other groups to try to divide us. But if you look at polling, a majority of African Americans, a majority of Latinos, a majority of Asians, I mean, you can go down every list, a majority of women. The only group that doesn't want voter ID are single white college educated women. That's the only group that doesn't want voter ID.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And that is the biggest thing that needs to be passed right now is that voter ID. And you know what? It's time. It's time for Schumer to get out of office. He needs to be out of office.
Well, the problem is, Paul, yeah, Schumer's bad. But the way that party's going, Schumer will be replaced with AOC.
Well, that's true, too. That's true. Pretty soon it's going to be worse. It's not going to be Democrat. It's going to be the Democratic, a socialist part.
The DSA, you know. The Democratic Socialist. Well, I say this,
you
Paul.
Know what?
I say this. I think the SAVE Act is so important. I think if Senate Republicans don't get their you-know-what together and pass the SAVE Act, I think they have hindered Trump's second term.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. And you know what? It's funny you just brought that up. When you see DSA, you're referring to that Democratic Social Association or whatever it is. I take offense to the DSA being said because I'm a New York State Mason, okay, for 30 years. DSA means your Dedicated Service Award, okay, and that's a very high honor to a store in the Masonic organization. I don't think they should use DSA as a shortcut for this Democratic Party. You know what I'm saying?
That's, you know, Paul, I hadn't thought of that. I will stop using DSA because I think you're absolutely correct. Yeah, they want to be called the Democratic Socialists of America. That's what they're calling their movement. Yeah. Paul, appreciate the call as always. Paul and Shelby, 803-0930, star 930. Yeah, I think I don't want to go too far off the topic here, but the SAVE Act, I mean again, and people will say, well, you're an election denier. You know, it's so funny. I was listening to, I'm a nerd, right? I'm a political nerd. And I'll go back and watch news coverage from the 2000 election, from the 2004 election, from the 2016 election. And, you know, I mean, there were Democrats still when Obama ran the first time in 2008 that were talking about the stolen election of 2000. These are the same Democrats now that say if you claim an election was rigged or if you claim that things weren't proper, that's a threat to democracy. But yet, Hillary Clinton can call Trump an illegitimate president. We can have Democrats go on for a decade saying that George Bush didn't really win in 2000. It's crazy, but I've never understood the argument against voter ID, and I've never heard a good argument against it. And I don't think it's fair, and I think it's offensive to say it's because of certain groups. Like, I think it's offensive to African Americans to say we can't have voter ID because then African Americans won't be able to vote. If I was an African American, I'd be offended by that statement. And again, go back to polling. A majority of blacks in America think there should be voter ID. Like I said, every group of people, except for single white college-educated women, think that there should be voter ID. But the Democrats, they can point and they can call out and apparently accuse everyone but themselves of being racist. Democrats can call everyone else a Nazi. They can call everyone else a racist. They can call everyone else a sexist. Yet they can be the party of the KKK, the party of Jim Crow, the party of Robert Byrd, the party of Graham Plattner with a Nazi tattoo. Yet they're the ones who are going to say everyone but them are all these things. And it's crazy that they've been able to get away with it. But again, you have a media that will always give the Democrats a pass. They will give Graham Plattner a pass. This guy shouldn't be running for Senate. And if he was running as a Republican, I would say no way. I'd rather give up control of the Senate than have a lunatic like Graham Plattner representing the party that I'm currently registered under. Anyway, back to what Doug Jamal said. And this is what he said to our Jim Fink in an interview that aired this morning.
Right, all of downtown. If they were looking to bring downtown back, there's only one thing to do. Bring the Statler back and you'll bring downtown back. I don't know what's so complicated about that equation.
Do you agree with Doug Jamal? And maybe it's not the Statler, but is there a building, is there a block downtown that if you restore it, like he's saying, restore the Statler fully, it will bring downtown back? I don't think it's that simple. Now, was there a time where it was that simple? Yes. It's not that simple. And by the way, I love Doug Jamal. I wish he'd come on this show. I'd love to talk to him for a segment. And I'd love to see the Statler brought back to its glory. I mean, I've heard all the stories about the Statler. It would be nice to see a fully functioning Statler Towers. I just don't think it's that simple to say, if this starts going, everything around it will come to life. And now you're going to laugh because I'm going to go back to something I always talk about. I would actually, and I'm not saying this is the case, okay? But I would say that's more true of a central location like the Main Place Mall, right on Main Street. Huge property, not as big as the Statler, but a big property in the middle of the business district. I would think you put something that attracts people into where the Main Place Mall is, that's a start. But I don't think it's a one-and-done type thing. Now, you restore the Statler attracts people to go back downtown, which also will attract business downtown. I don't know. It'd be great to see. But do you think it's that simple, one? And two, should Buffalo, Erie County, New York State help Doug Jamal financially finish this project? 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer. One segment to go on WBEN.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Final segment, 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the line. We'll get back to this downtown Jamal talk in a second. So at the end of the first hour Friday, I said, you know what, guys, I'm done talking about Jeremy Zellner. You know, we had spent 4 days talking about his campaign and then obviously the shocking loss. And it's not just that he lost. He lost pretty big, right? But it's interesting to see that a lot of people now are just beginning the Jeremy Zellner discussion. And should Jeremy Zellner continue to be the chair of the Democratic Party? And, you know, one thing I One thing that frustrates me is no one wants to upset Zellner in case he does stay the chair and he wins re-election in September. So no one in the party will come out and say, yeah, he should resign. But there's got to be. You have to think. I'm not a Democrat, okay? And I'm looking at this from afar. And I'm not just looking at the Zellner campaign and he put so many of the party's resources into his own campaign. I am just looking at how, and, you know, you can judge him on his wins. What does Leo say at the beginning of Wolf of Wall Street? I ask you not to judge me on my wins, but judge me on my losses because I have so few. Zellner, as a chairman, had an awful day on Tuesday. Both the endorsed candidates got blown out in Buffalo. Karen Hoke lost convincingly, and he lost convincingly. It shows to me, and again, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not probably the person to give the autopsy. But it seems like he has lost grip with what's going on in the party. Now, you could say the party's moving more to the left, right? You have a Democratic Socialist that won in Adam Bojack. And, you know, Jeremy Zellner, I think, is willing to go as far left as the party wants him. I'm not sure he's willing to go that far left. But also, I think this hangs over your head. You know, you have people in your life that you might love them, but they did something in the past. And as much as you love them and you might, you know, see them every day, that incident is always hanging over their head. Like when you think of that person, that incident is always there, right? It could be something embarrassing. It could be something very serious. It could be something, you know, they did, you know, they owed you money. They never paid you back. And then they like blamed you. You ever see this? I think Zellner's going to have that problem. Regardless if he wins in September or doesn't, I think Zellner's always going to have the last year plus hanging over his head. Because I do believe, maybe not in public, and they won't admit it to us here at WBEN, but I do believe that there are Democrats who are disgusted at how he handled the Buffalo mayoral primary last year. And they're disgusted with how quickly. I mean, my gosh, Chris Scanlon was still giving his concession speech when, Zellner didn't announce till after the general election, so that wouldn't make any sense. Sean Ryan was still giving his acceptance speech when Jeremy Zellner announced that he was running for Senate. I mean, it was so quick, it just made it so obvious. And I think, you know, within Democratic circles, well, I don't think, I know, because I know people in Democratic circles that actually will talk to me. And, you know, people are starting to bring that up and bring up how many resources he put into his campaign. And, you know, did the party focus enough on Karen Hoke's campaign? She is a vice chair of the party. I think the more people think about it, and you're seeing this. I mean, the Buffalo News had a write-up today. The Investigative Post had a write-up. I think the more people look at it, I think the more sour they're going to be on Jeremy Zellner. I really do. And so I had all intentions of not talking about Jeremy Zellner anymore after Friday's show. I'm not sure that's a reality because I think more is going to come out. And I do believe in the coming weeks, more Democrats will speak publicly about how they feel. And then Mark Poloncarz can comment on their Facebook post and publicly call them out, because that's always smart to do as an elected official. On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, Joe, I truly believe Zellner didn't just lose control. He lost it when his mayoral endorsed candidate lost to a write-in candidate. So going back all the way to India Walton, could be. You know, and we'll see. We'll see. I think there's eyes on Zellner, and you know, you've got a wing of the party that is very progressive, very far to the left. And do they take over the party locally? You know, I know Jack O'Donnell says he's a Buffalo Democrat. But how many of these Gen Z Democrats feel they're a Jack O'Donnell Democrat or a Zora Mamdani Democrat? And I think we're going to see that playing out in the next few months and years here in Erie County. But I just thought it was interesting. You know, right after I said I'm done talking about this election, everyone else starts giving their breakdown and their, quote, autopsy of what happened on Tuesday. Very interesting to see. Very interesting to see. I mean, it could be a slow fall. But I do believe, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I do believe this is something that will hang over Jeremy Zellner's head as long as he is the chair of the Erie County Democratic Party. And especially when his buddy, who he didn't think was good enough to be in Congress, Mark Poloncarz, is no longer the county executive. I'm not sure who he has to lean on. Because, you know, Mayor Ryan didn't really give him a huge endorsement either before or after his loss, right? Sean Ryan said something along the lines of, we're going to have to talk about things. We're going to have to think about that. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Doug Jamal says this. I'm going to play this clip again if you're just coming into the show late. Doug Jamal said this to our Jim Fink.
The Statler will invigorate all of downtown. If they were looking to bring downtown back, there's only one thing to do. Bring the Statler back and you'll bring downtown back. I don't know what's so complicated about that equation.
Yes. So, do you believe or do you agree with Jamal? You don't have to believe it. Do you agree with Jamal that the Statler fully up and running again would kind of spread out to the entire season, or to the entire downtown? In theory, I think it sounds great, right? If you fully bought the Statler back, and I'm talking residential, hotel, offices, everything, the WBEN studio on the top floor resurrected, right? And Tanner and I are downtown in the afternoon. I think there was a point where that was a true statement. You know, I remember going there in 07, for a prom, yes, at the Statler. And that's when the first attempt to reopen it that I remember. I mean, it looked awful inside. Now, when I was there for Easter, what Doug Jamal has done and Mark Croce before him, obviously, it looks beautiful on that first floor. It's absolutely beautiful, you know? But there's 18 floors on top of that. If you were to bring that back, if you agree with Doug Jamal and that the Statler could kick off some renaissance downtown, does Doug Jamal deserve some public funding to finish the Statler Tower? That's the question. 803-0930, star 930. I would say this. The city of Buffalo gave money to a grocery store that a year later was out of business. The city of Buffalo and Erie County have thrown around money to the point where Buffalo's in a deficit and they can't tell you exactly where their COVID money went. They're getting bailed out by the state. I'm not for just handing money out. I think Doug Jamal has sank a lot of money into Western New York and, you know, still gotten blamed for everything. But if he'll actually finish the Statler, I think there's a discussion to be had. 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the program. I don't know. I think it'll be very interesting what happens here. Obviously, Doug Jamal's selling more properties. He says the Hyatt isn't for sale, but obviously he's listening. And I think he's gotten to the point where he's a little upset with the way things have gone. You know, when he first came into Buffalo, I keep saying this, before COVID, I do think there was a feeling. It might not have been true, but there was a more positive vibe. 10 years ago when the Duck was downtown, there was a more positive vibe about downtown and the trajectory of Buffalo than there is today. Does it take something like a full revitalization of the Statler? Or in my opinion, it takes something like, I don't know, doing something with the Main Place Mall. I think it's a start. I don't think it's a one, and I don't think one, and all of a sudden people are going downtown because the Statler's completely open again. But I think it's a start. It could also be a colossal waste of money. You bring it back, and you realize people still aren't coming downtown. Because I do think it's more than just there's nothing to do. As we talked about last week, as I talked about with Mitch Nowakowski yesterday on Hardline, I think it's more than there's nothing to do, right? It's people want to go downtown, and when they're downtown, they want to see police officers. They want to see security. They want to feel safe. Sean Ryan and Mark Poloncarz is telling you that it's safe is not the reassurance that you want. You want to see the protection. You want to see the security. I think that's a big part of it. But yeah, you couple that with, hey, the Statler's reopened. I'd love to, you know, think about the Curtis downtown. I know a ton of people who do staycations and they do a night at the Curtis hotel downtown. And that's great. It's a beautiful hotel. I think the Statler would benefit from something like that. Again, I think you would have a mix of residential, of offices, and of a hotel as well. But I would love to see that project done. You know, I mean, Mark Croce started it. Doug Jamal has continued it. And I'd love to see that project done. I'd love to see something done that's, you know, over a decade in the making. But I also think it would be important if we're going to continue to send people back to the office, and I think we should, and have something on remote work and what it does to you. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But I would like to see something done in the business district, and you know, in Main Street where the Main Place Mall is. I think that is so important to not continue leaving that to just be another empty eyesore on downtown Buffalo. It's so interesting to see like pictures from the 60s and 70s. Like I was looking at this picture, and what was the big store? Was it Bonds? Bonds or Brands or something downtown? And they had a huge store downtown. They tore it down to put where the Main Place Mall is now. But I saw a picture, and I was like, that is so hard for someone like me to think that's Buffalo. Because I've never known Buffalo to look like that. Right? Yes, it was Bonds. You get more than savings from Bonds. Bonds Clothing Store. And it's just so interesting to see like all the signs and all the people downtown and all the cars and, you know, I mean, every storefront, there's something going on. And I'd love to get close to that again, right? But you actually, yeah, Bond. More men wear Bond clothes than any other clothes in America. That's a sign that it has. It's so interesting to see. And I'll post this picture on my Facebook page so you know what I'm talking about. But you look at that and you're like, oh my gosh, that's downtown Buffalo. You have to realize people my age, that's what we're saying. We see pictures like this and we can't, you know, I mean, number one, I don't know Eagle being an intersection because right now it's a partial street, downtown, but people my age will look at this picture and go, that was downtown Buffalo. I can't comprehend that, you know. I remember when there was a Foot Locker downtown, and I thought that was pretty cool. When there was a Foot Locker at Main Place Mall, and I had to get a new pair of shorts because I fell and, like, ripped the shorts I was wearing, and I just walked over to the Main Place Mall and bought a pair of shorts. Anyway, that is the show for today, and I want to thank everyone for the calls. The text board is lighting up, of course, always at the end of the show. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, you get 4 hours of Joe Beamer. I will be on at 2 to 6. So set your clocks accordingly. And I hope to talk with you then. Obviously, we're going to get into America 250 and how you're celebrating this weekend. I got to talk fireworks. You know, today we were talking about lessons learned the hard way with heat and summertime and the sun. Let me tell you, I've got some stories. Obviously, nothing too serious. I've got some stories of lessons learned the hard way with fireworks, and I'd love to hear yours as well throughout the week. And we'll get to that as we get closer to the 4th of July. And as you heard David said, we'll have a few more decisions with the Supreme Court tomorrow, so keep it tuned right here to News Radio 930 WBEN, and we will get we will not only report it, but we will break it down for you as well. Tom Bowerly is up next, so don't touch that dial. Bowerly's up next after the news with Tom Puckett. And again, we just want to say, welcome back, Tanner Saunders. So great to have you on the other side of the glass. Again, Tanner, you deserve time off, and we're happy that you had a week off to recharge and enjoy enjoy the summer. But you're back now, and that makes all of us here very, very happy. Again, I will talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Oh, unless I'm called for jury duty, which my number was not called Friday. We'll have to check again at 6 o'clock tonight to see. But unless I'm called for jury duty, I'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 p.m. on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.